The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Someone just came by and he's like, "I miss Waddle." I said, "I love you guys." It's still miss Waddle.
Well, listen, everybody misses Waddle. By the way, this guy's got the best Bears shirt I've seen. Heisenberg. You see that? That's awesome.
That is really
good. Like, that is a great shirt.
Heisenberg.
Where did you get that? I want that shirt. I want it.
Yeah.
Heisenberg.
That's really
good.
So for
Bears fans and Breaking Bad fans,
yes.
That's really good.
And you got to be both, right?
Yes.
Too classic.
Should be. It's really good.
All right. I want you to tell your story here in a minute. Let me just set the table. We are this is your neck of the woods. Someone came up to me, you know, often because we've been together for so long on the radio station. Sometimes people think I'm Carmen.
It happens all the time.
Sylvie. Hey, you grew up around here. No, you grew up around here.
My parents live 2 miles from here.
Yeah, we're at Legends in Woodridge. It's a great spot. We got a big party going on here, too.
We do. It's a great crew. Everybody from Seven Bridges that just got done playing, they're all over here now.
The golf outing just let out.
Golf outing.
St. Joan of Arc.
Yeah, St. Joan of Arc.
Yeah, raised a bunch of money for St. Joan of Arc.
Some of the ladies came over and they took a picture, and one was saying to me, and she goes, "We were talking some NFL football, too, about the concussion today."
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know? That's what everybody's talking about today.
Did she sound like Harry
Carey?
Yeah,
I was going to say, did she sound like Harry?
It was a Harry Carey.
She sound like Will Ferrell impersonating Harry Carey?
I was impersonating Ryan Dempster impersonating Will Ferrell, who impersonates Harry Carey.
Those
Harry Carries are not good.
Did you see a couple of the shirts the girls were wearing? Talk birdie to me.
Yes, I like that.
See that one?
I like hers. It takes a lot of balls to play golf like I do.
Yeah, there's another one. It's the ball's about 2 inches from the hole in the flag. Yeah. And it says, "I'll tap that."
That's funny.
Very
funny.
Good job. This is your coach, ladies.
I said if you play your cards right.
Yeah.
Carmen already got invited to an Itasca golf course or Itasca Country Club?
Itasca Country Club, yeah.
And then now someone over here says.
We just got invited to Black Sheep.
Black Sheep.
Yeah. Look at that.
Black Sheep's supposed to be phenomenal.
This is a jackpot for you guys.
This jackpot is right.
All right, so tell the story.
Well, so I was with this. I did this thing in one of the suites last Thursday. The last time I watched the Sox game, by the way. With Ozzy. And it was like one of those big 100 people suites.
The super suite.
Oh, yeah, the super suite. And it was packed. It was packed. And so I'm doing this Q&A with Ozzy. You know, and I'm not like, look, Ozzy will be the first to tell you, right? Like, Ozzy can, first of all, he's Ozzy. And when he gets going and he's animated, I mean, you know.
He gets going and he's animated.
He works blue and he's animated and he's a little excitable. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I don't want it to come across that way. Ozzy can be a little tough to understand sometimes, right? Like, he jokes about it. He'll admit it. But I think what he was saying.
You think?
I think. Because, like, somebody I think asked Ozzy in the crowd, like, the toughest pitcher he faced. And, you know, and Ozzy talked about how intimidating it was having to face Nolan Ryan. You know, and then he started telling the story of Robin. And I think what he was hinting was that in the previous start that year, maybe had they faced Nolan, Nolan hit somebody, and they never fully got revenge. I don't know. Again, Ozzy was going, and I was like, wait, I was having a tough time following. But I think what he was saying was when that night they said in the clubhouse, if Nolan hits anybody, whoever it is, you have to charge the mound.
Oh, boy.
And so he starts talking about how, and Ozzy said when he was up in his first at bat, he's like, oh, please. You know, and Ozzy's doing his whole thing, and he's telling the story, and he's swearing, and these people are eating it up. Ozzy's talking about how he was thinking, God, if he hits me, I got to go out to the run out to the mound. Ozzy didn't get hit. Ventura gets hit, and he says, you can see, he starts going to first, and it's going in his head. Robin's like, I got to go. I got to run at the mound, because the Sox were mad at him from something from, like, a previous start. So Robin just said, F it, I got to go. And he threw the helmet down, and he went, and he charged the mound.
And it was the worst decision of
unbelievable.
His life.
You know, and, like, it was just hilarious to listen to Ozzy tell that story. That was funny. And then he told a story about Game 5 in Boston. I'm sorry, game three in Boston.
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. And I don't know if I knew this. And, like, maybe I'm having Sylvie memory and I'm just forgetting things, and I did. But he told the story about how El Duque was supposed to start the sixth. That was the plan. And he thought he was ready. And when they called down, who would it have been? Maybe Art Kushner or whoever it was. They called down. They're like, he's not ready. He's complaining about his shoulder. And Ozzie's like, what? And they thought he was going to start the inning. And who was it, Meller? Marte. What was Marte's first name?
Damaso.
Damaso Marte. So Damaso Marte has to go back out, and he's the one who got him into trouble. And Ozzie keeps calling down to the bullpen.
Is he ready yet? Is he ready?
What is going on? And I need to know, do we need somebody else up? Is he ready? And they're like, he's complaining about his shoulder. And finally, Ozzie got on and started yelling at him in Spanish. You either are coming in or you're not. Like, I got to know. And he's like, okay. A couple more, and I'll come in. And Ozzie's telling the story about how they're loading the bases, and he's like, we're losing this game right here. Like, it's getting away from me. Marte was never supposed to start the inning. It was supposed to be El Duque, and then finally the bases are loaded. Ozzie's got no choice. He says yes or no right now. El Duque says, okay, I'll come in. He comes in, and the rest is history.
That's a great story.
It was incredible to listen to Ozzie tell it. Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's the only good highlight from the White Sox this year.
It's the most entertaining time I've had at a Sox game all year, unfortunately.
That's great.
With Ozzie last week. Yeah,
by the way, the Cubs won again today. The Cubs are coming.
I know. They're going to have – the Cubs aren't going to finish – with that many fewer wins than the White Sox. You realize that.
It's closer than you think.
It's like within eight games, isn't it?
Someone told me that the White Sox are way closer to the Cubs than they are the Guardians.
Yeah,
they are.
The White Sox are 77-79. The Cubs are 71-86.
It's six games.
71 wins, Eric. You never thought that was possible.
Are you kidding me? I got a wager with Kaplan. I thought I had already cashed in August.
What was the wager? 72?
74 is the over-under.
Wow, this is really close.
He's got the over. I've got the under.
This is going to be close.
There's six games left. Oh, no, they have five left, right?
Yeah.
After today?
I thought I was collecting. Remember I told you to get that 100? I'll let you buy me out for 1,000.
All against the Reds, I think. It's a back-to-back series for the Reds.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You might be in trouble.
Let's get to football here, because we're here. It's a football Friday. I want to give you the injury report.
Give me the football. The
one name that is on this report that no one really anticipated was Cairo Santos. This is for a serious personal reason, according to Brad Biggs. And they are anticipating, they have brought kickers in to try out. I don't know if has there been any signings yet? Biggsy was speculating that he expects them to sign one to the practice squad. And he says there's a really good chance that Cairo Santos doesn't kick in this game.
Yeah, you got to sign one, I would think.
Sure.
You can't do the let's find a position player that's a good kicker. Especially in a game in which it might come down because your offense stinks, and so does the other offense. Like, it's going to come down to a field goal. You have to sign a professional kicker here, right, just
and
to be safe.
He's been good.
He's been very good.
He's been really – he stopped the kicking carousel.
You hope the best for him, whatever's going on.
So he's listed as questionable. David Montgomery is out. We all expected that. And we wouldn't be surprised if he misses multiple games,
I would think
right?
a couple of weeks, yeah.
Jalen Johnson, also not a surprise. He's out. Dane Cruikshank is also out. Bayless Jones, the good news here is he was a full participant. They still list him as questionable, but he was limited, and then full. And so he's trending upward. Maybe he helps on special teams. We'll see if he's activated. Robert Quinn, questionable. And I told you also Cairo Santos and Sterling Weatherford. Doubtful Matt Adams and Ryan Griffin.
The Santo thing is significant because, like Sylvie said, he solved a lot of your kicking problems, and now you have to go to a guy on the street, potentially, in a game that could be decided by field goals. Look, if you're the Chiefs, you know, it's not as significant because, we'll go for two every time, or we've got Mahomes, it doesn't really matter. You know, like, the Bears don't have that luxury. So in what is already probably going to be a low-scoring game in a tight game, I think that is a very significant development.
And first and foremost, you hope
the best for Cairo Santos from a performance standpoint or how your team may do. You know, it obviously has got some lingering impact there as well.
You don't expect somebody to be lost to a non-injury.
Right, exactly. The week of.
That's what you're thinking. Okay, well, we're not going to lose him. There's nothing wrong with him. Why would we lose the guy?
Yeah.
But there is something that's popped up.
Something definitely to follow.
And it's causing him concern and or a dilemma.
Yeah. Give me someone who's more reliable on the Bears than Cairo Santos.
Did we forget
right
about
now?
Game one? What happened? Or are we going to just say that
was
the weather?
Well, that was the weather.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to forget about game one, let's just say it.
They were trying to use a towel, too, at one time.
Well, it's because you do stupid things. Doesn't make any excuses.
I think the long snapper's good.
You're mixing things up.
Who, Scales, right?
Yeah, Patrick Scales. Yeah.
He's been there
a while. He's good. Yeah. He's reliable. Anybody? I mean, there are not many.
I mean, Roquan has been up and down now. He had a good game. I hope now this is a start. He's got his legs under him. He's got all the stuff put to bed. And hopefully now Roquan can be the star.
And it's hard to say Jenkins has been this or that because they keep substituting and putting another guy in for him.
By the way,
Whitehair. Have you not said the name Whitehair and maybe that's a good thing?
I guess so.
I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Dan Durkin is still not a big fan of his, and he thinks they're going to move on from him after this year because of his expense.
Maybe, and because of his age.
Age and expense.
Yeah. Sure.
I can see that.
That's fine if that's what you want.
But guards are replaceable.
And they got plenty of guards now.
Yeah, guards are replaceable.
By the way, the Biggs report, too, on the guys that they're bringing in, Michael Badgley, Brian Johnson, Josh Lambeau. So, and then he says there's a good chance that one signs on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think you have to.
And then you can activate them.
That's a must.
And then the Fields thing, guys. I mean, this is the number one thing here. What do you want to see?
What should we
all want to see?
16-22 for 150.
Competent, right?
I'm not even putting except for the completion percentage. Maybe those might be outrageous numbers, but 16 for 22, I'm not giving – you ain't got to throw for anything. No touchdowns. Just don't throw an interception.
I think you got to see, hopefully, a willingness to trust what he's looking at and pull the trigger.
I got a 15-12 final.
That's an ugly game. I mean, that's a big part of this. You can see it when you go back and watch the All-22. There are open receivers. It's a myth that there are no open receivers. What you see is – and I'm not going to pretend like I can properly break down the mechanics – of the quarterback position. Yurko, Waddle, true experts can look at that and say, here are things that are good and bad. But you can see open players, and what you see is and I don't think he's trusting what he's looking at right now. And that's the problem.
He wants
to throw it, and then he doesn't. And you just can't do that in this league.
This is when the footwork is important to me, because you're going to avoid the rush. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. When you make the decision to hit that back foot and step forward and make the throw,
you got
to
do it.
That's when the footwork matters. You're going to be dodging people back and forth. Them giving me the right foot being forward and then the left foot's forward, and that's so much better. However he needs to get back to where he plants the right foot and he's got to throw, that's the important sequence. That's the most important sequence of it all. Everything before that is kind of random and could be a variable because of the rush. Your throwing position is important when you plant and throw. If you're on the run, when you plant and you're throwing in the direction you're throwing to. If you're rolling left and you plant and turn your shoulders and try to throw, that's when it's important. I mean, all the footwork thing and all the craziness, the most important time in that footwork is when he plants and he's throwing. What's it look like there? I don't care if he's got one leg forward at the snap, the other leg forward at the snap. I don't care if he's doing jumping jacks at the snap. Right?
Wow.
The point is, when you get to that back foot, you find what you want, and then you stride and throw. That's the important aspect of it all.
And I feel like he's been hesitant, again, to almost trust what he is seeing, because he's
just
not.
Have they paralyzed him?
Yeah.
Have they paralyzed him with the analysis?
That could be.
I thought, Yurko, what you were saying earlier in the week, that, again, your time to think is in the huddle.
Yeah,
it's a great call by Yurko.
Yeah.
But pre-snap, you're thinking, it's time to react. Right. When the play goes on, he's not reacting.
It's a great point by Yurko. Yurko was saying when the play, once that ball has been snapped, thinking has to be over. You have to read and react. You can't read, think, react. It has to be read and react. And I think that's a really good point.
You can see it. When the receivers are running open, that's when the throw needs to be.
And he's thinking.
And he's thinking about making the throw.
And you can't do it in this league. Yeah. You just can't.
What was your yardage that you wanted from Justin?
150.
154.
So in his three games this year, 121 in the monsoon, 70 in Green Bay, 106 last week.
Awful.
See, like, that is a lot. In context, it shouldn't be. This is minor league stuff.
Right.
It's awful.
150 is not a lot to ask in 22.
In his last two games, he's gone for 176 yards, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. One game he had a quarterback rating of 43.8. The other game he had 27.7. Like, give me an 80 quarterback rating and don't make mistakes, you know?
And complete more than 50% of your passes.
Like, we're backing up now. We're backing up the truck
it's bad.
To hope we can go forward. It's I hope we've hit rock bottom. And, like, people get mad, the field supporters. And I'm a field supporter. I don't know why they get mad, because I'm a Bears fan and I'm a Fields fan. But how could you not call it anything else other than what you've seen?
You could be a Fields fan and recognize poor quarterback play.
Yep. That's what's happening
now. I can
now.
Wish and hope for Justin Fields to be very successful. But when the game is said and done, I have now got to analyze the performance. And the performance has been substandard. You know, that's what it's been.
And then, I was talking to some of the guys pre-show the other day about all these polarizing things that we've had with our quarterbacks. Jay was as polarizing as anybody. 50% loved him, 50% did. Mitch got very polarizing with the truthers. Yeah. It's polarizing with Fields. Not only do I want a quarterback who can win, for our mindset,
our well-being.
I want a day where all of Chicago loves our quarterback, where there's no arguing if he's good, if he's bad, that we love him. Everyone's behind him. There's no gray area. There's no fighting about the quarterback.
Do you need one of those artificial Tampa Bay Mitch Trubisky 6-touchdown games?
Oh, but today's the anniversary.
Is that right? There you go. Would that make you feel better?
No.
Well, one of those where they threw the ball all the time once they got to the goal line because they're trying to build their quarterback's confidence?
I'll take it.
You'll take that? Well, yeah, you'll take it because you hope it's going to be a sign. But was it really ever a sign?
No.
At the time, and I'm glad you brought this up because I would have forgotten. Shout out to Mitch and Bartlett. He DMs me a lot of the stuff. Hey, don't forget this. Don't forget that. Mitch said, 4 years ago, you were with your son. It was my son's first Bears game.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, I see all the posts then. I went back, like what I posted on Facebook, what I posted on Twitter. I'm like, these aren't your grandfather's Bears anymore. Like, I'm thinking, like, the way we changed our expectations under Theo with the Cubs, that this is a new day and age for the Bears, and that they're putting up a 48 spot on the Tampa Bay Bucs. I knew they were garbage then.
The Tampa defense was awful.
But still, we didn't know what hit us. The crowd didn't know what was going on. They were shooting fireworks nonstop. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I thought that was the beginning of the foundation that we were living in a new era of Bears football.
I'm pretty sure Trey Burton had a long touchdown in that game. Remember Trey Burton?
Good,
yes.
How good he started the first half of the game.
It was ridiculous.
Little did you know, 4 short years later, the Bears football would look like it was exactly our grandfather's football.
Worse than our grandfather's
57.
Football.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. Like,
awful.
What was the stat that Big Cat gave us about that where Gary Huff played into this? We're like, something about Justin Fields did something that like only 4 other quarterbacks or a team had ever done, and that included like Gary Huff with Tampa. And sure enough, the reason why Gary Huff was in Tampa was he was a rejected Bears quarterback who then found his way. So there was still a Bears tie-in to something that Justin Fields did this past week that was on par with one of the worst Tampa Bay Buccaneer teams ever.
Well, if you look at the first 3 weeks, I mean, how bad the metrics are and the numbers are. I mean, it is going back to a different era. Did you hear my stat about the last team before the Bears right now to play to win multiple games in the first 3 weeks of the season while completing fewer than 10 passes? Did you hear that earlier this week?
What was it again?
They're the first team since who, if you can tell me, or when. First team since whom to complete 10 or fewer passes in multiple wins in the first 3 weeks of a season.
A Tim Tebow team?
Oh, you got to go way back before.
Oh, really?
That.
Yeah, was it 78 or 82?
1990. The L.A. Raiders. So 2 stops ago for the Raiders.
Yeah, Jay Schrader.
Jay Schrader. The L.A. Raiders were the last team to win multiple games in the first 3 weeks of an NFL season while completing fewer than 10 passes. Before that, you got to go back to 1978. And guess who did it, guys? Our beloved Chicago Bears.
Of course, the Bears.
And so in
like
the
Bob
last
Avalini
40 years.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it's happened, that's 44 years, is that right? Is my math
44,
right on that?
44.
In the last 44 years, it's happened 3 times, twice by our beloved franchise. And did you know this stat? This is a next-gen stat, guys. Justin Fields is the only quarterback in the NFL this year, the only one with 0 tight window throws.
I heard you say that.
Every other quarterback in the NFL has at least 7. He has 0 attempted tight window throws.
Won't pull the
trigger. It goes back to what we were talking about.
Processing.
He's not trusting what he's seeing, or he's not processing it, and he won't pull the trigger. That is the most damning stat I think I can give you. That Baker Mayfield, who stinks,
Mitch Trubisky stinks. Every other quarterback in the league has thrown at least 7 tight window attempts. He has 0.
He's got 14 games here to prove it to Ryan Poles that he's worth keeping.
Do you know how many great receptions Bears receivers have this year? 0. Because they never get the opportunity to make a great reception.
He just won't do it.
Because the ball's not being thrown.
He won't cut it loose.
I'm watching great catches. I just happen to be looking up here, and I'm watching great catches.
How about the pick and catch?
After great, yeah. I just keep watching them over and over and over again. That's all I get to see. Great catches by guys being covered. And you can't find a great catch by a Bears receiver. Why? Because they never have a chance to make a great catch.
It doesn't mean that Fields can't turn it around. It means it's a crazy start.
But we're telling you what's happening now.
Right, and no one ever, not even the biggest Fields detractor, could have ever predicted that these would be the first three
games. Only one guy changes the narrative, and it's
Fields.
Justin Fields. That's like, it. He's the guy that's in charge of it.
It's my favorite saying that Waddle brings up. It's a very Yogi Berra saying. You want to change the narrative? Change the narrative.
Yeah.
You control it.
I don't think Yogi could come up with something as
by your actions, though. It's got to be by his actions.
Right. He
not by your rhetoric, not by your talk, not by anything, but by what you do on Sundays. Yes. That's it.
There you go.
You could be a great guy. You could be donating money to charities. You could do all of it. But what are you doing on Sunday? That's all that matters.
An old friend is at the bar who I want to talk to shortly. Fred Huebner.
Is it Ludwig von Beethoven?
No. It is not.
I don't think he's an old friend. He's old.
Did we know Beethoven?
Boy, if you dug him up, what would that body look like?
Beethoven's dead.
Yeah, just for a few years.
That guy there is dead. Cross him off the list then, Jeff.
Yes. And then I want to build a same-game parlay, which we have not done for DraftKings. And I think we may have one, Carmen. I want to run it by you. I know you don't have parlays,
but all right.
Yeah, but this is what we do.
Hey, I'm cool with it.
Over-under made field goals, 5.5.
But can you do that with a kicker that you may not?
Yeah, not the best bet right now.
I'm with
Sylvie. That's probably not a bet you want to make.
I mean, you really swing the parlay that way.
We're live at Legends in Woodridge on ESPN 1000.
If you're at Legends in Woodridge right now, great. If not, turn on your twitch.tv and watch us. The Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast. Live from Legends in Woodridge.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You made it to your weekend. It should be a great weekend here in Chicago. We're in Woodridge today at Legends. Miller Lite bringing us to the best places around town. I just met, you know who that one guy was, Miller? I think you remember this last week, and Tyler. Raul from Logan Square was one of the guys we were just talking to. He was the one who dropped the F-bomb on the air yesterday.
Oh, Raul.
When he talked about
he dropped the F-bomb.
He talked about how he was going to do an 8-ball and then get
played. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You can't be doing 8-balls.
At the Bears tailgate.
Raul.
You get too juiced up. You're gonna need another one while you're at the game.
Waddle didn't hear him swear.
Yeah,
either.
I think it was the way he said it. It did slide
so
like
quick. No, Waddle said, "Give me directions to your tailgate."
Yeah.
These guys are doing
bumps in the south end zone. What's going on here?
Wherever there was a party, Tommy was there.
He says to me, "Hey, sorry for dropping the F bomb," and I thought he was talking about like 10 minutes ago.
Oh right, yeah.
I don't care.
This last week.
He's like, no, I was on the phone last week. I get overly amped. I'm like,
that's commitment to come out from Logan Square. Yeah, you kidding me?
Well, he's got relatives out here.
I'm impressed. I used to live in Logan Square. My parents are 2 miles away, and I'd be like, I'm not coming out there.
He came to pick up
brutal.
A driver from Golf Galaxy. He's out here somewhere.
All right, so what we do every week with DraftKings, with our partnership with DraftKings, and I don't know if you know, this was a mensch move, Carm. When Montgomery, we had a same-game parlay.
I heard this.
Montgomery went down. We had Montgomery. Was it anytime touchdown in there?
Yeah.
It was like Darnell Mooney over, and I forget.
How'd that work out for you?
Terrible.
Over 14 yards?
What was his
you
total?
Think the under.
Was it like 49?
I think it was 49.
49.
Yeah.
We're like, Darnell Mooney's got to. Yeah. It's a bad team.
Oh, yeah.
The Texans give up. They bend and they sometimes break.
Right.
But they give up a lot of yards.
Yes, they do.
So Mooney's going to get 50
easy.
Yards receiving.
Yeah, no problem.
Mooney.
At this rate, Mooney will have 50 yards receiving in week 10 at this rate.
It's crazy. So Montgomery goes down in the first quarter, and I plant the seed to Nolan Murphy, who then contacts our friends at DraftKings. Hey, is there any way they could do a goodwill gesture and refund the same game parlay?
So everybody who made it with the Waddle and Sylvie show?
Right, right.
Nice.
And, like, they easily could have said no because, okay, yes, Montgomery did get injured.
Well, he was in the game. He was in the game.
And then, second of all, Mooney didn't come close to 50 yards. If two of the three would have hit, then – but they still said, you know what? We're gonna give everyone a free $15 back.
All right.
So they refunded everybody's same game parlay for a free bet. So if you haven't looked in your inbox on DraftKings and you play the Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay, it was a mensch move by
DraftKings. Yeah, absolutely.
So
good for them.
All right. So it took a while for us to, because we've been wanting to bet on the Bear. We're not going to play any more receiving yards.
I wouldn't.
No.
I think Tyler suggested that maybe we play St. Brown's over at like 20 yards.
Yeah.
Combined or receiving?
No, receiving. Just receiving.
I think that's risky these days.
I mean, until they prove it, you know, the only thing with St. Brown, if you can get a combined, might not be bad because he was the one who popped the big jet sweep last week, right. And maybe they use that again. And, you know, no Pringle now. So, like, I could see like a combined total for Equiminius and think maybe that wouldn't be bad, but I don't know, man.
I think
I stay away from the straight receiving props.
Yeah, you'd have to if you want to be a winner. I would go with the Eddie Jackson interception, though. What would it take for an Eddie Jackson interception?
Well, that's
got to be a nice big number. Yeah, it's got to be a big number.
Listen, at some point,
we want to hit one.
As much as we bag on them, at some point, they're going to throw the ball in some receiver's going to have 80 yards in a game. I mean, it's got to happen.
But you as a gambler and the host of the odds couple, you would not play one of those now.
It's tough.
They got to win you over. Yeah, so I think Tyler and I came up with this, and maybe you guys can help us with a better one. Tyler, what did we have originally that we discussed?
So we talked about a lot of Khalil Herbert stuff here. So yes. Herbert's rushing prop right now is at 74.5 rushing yards. Over 74.5, I think we both like. Or we could juice it up even more to 84.5, get plus 115, 94.5, plus 170.
That's a lot.
Well, I'd be careful getting what's the juice on over 74.5?
Minus 135.
Minus 135.
Well, and then when you work it together, so we were going to maybe play that along with a Khalil Herbert anytime touchdown.
Okay.
To go along with, and then we were, the line right now on a same game parlay is 2.5. We were going to go with the alternate line of plus 3.5.
I like that. Get over a key.
Which we like a lot. And that, what would those three be on the same game parlay?
That pays you out at plus 290.
Almost 3-1. Not bad. Herbert over 74. And no Leonard Williams again. And that defense got shredded by Zeke and by Pollard, so...
Well, the thing is, like, working together, you have to like the fact that if the Bears are going to stay in this game,
correlate
they're going to keep it close. They don't even need to win at plus 3.5.
Right.
You can get a Khalil Herbert.
Yeah. They're going to run the ball like hell.
I think
and
they
no
will.
And no Montgomery.
Yeah.
So it feels like if you're going to get to the path where the Bears cover that 3.5, it's going to be... It's hard to envision it happening without the Herbert.
It's a good correlation.
Who's the third running back?
Tristan Ebner.
Yeah.
Ebner. So what's Ebner's rushing yards?
They don't have a posted rushing yards for him, but his touchdown scores, they have plus 600.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Remember, he was the one that fumbled a couple weeks ago, too, so how much are they going to use him?
What do you guys think of this?
Well, they're going to have to give him a break, whether they like it or not. Herbert is going to need a break.
Here's a little more value, but I could see a lot of this happening. You tell me. Khalil Herbert, anytime touchdown. The Bears to win on the money line, and Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown. Mm. You got the two offenses who love to run. All that together would be plus 600.
I don't know if I feel as good about the Bears winning, but that's why it's going to be plus 600 because they're about a plus 130 underdog. I could see two of those three things happening, and yeah, all three could, but I'd feel best about Saquon and Herbert both having an anytime score. Saquon looks great. He got hurt week two at Soldier Field in the COVID year. Obviously, wasn't the same last year as he was coming back. He looks like Saquon again. I mean, he probably will until there's going to be accumulated wear and tear as the season goes on. This is the healthiest he's looked, and it's the healthiest he's going to be.
What about this?
And I think he looks great. So,
what about I worked in the alternate line of plus 3.5 on the Bears?
Okay, so
Bears
what is that?
Plus 3.5. Anytime Herbert touchdown, anytime Barkley touchdown, we could call it, cloud of dust.
Ground and pound.
Ground and pound. That's at plus 475.
I like that.
Cloud of dust.
Tyler, which one do you like better? The first one we came up with,
or this one?
I like that most recent one you came up with there.
Yeah, me too.
Like, we throw Saquon in there. It's not all pro Bears, but it's smart because these two teams are going to run the ball like hell.
I think so. Neither team stops the run well. Both teams have rushed it well. They've got weapons that they like in their running game. They're very similar. I think you're right. I could see both of them getting a touchdown and the Bears covering that number. I like that one the most. Yardage total sometimes can be weird, too. You know, some goofy, you know, your two-yard loss at the end of a game can kind of, you know, and it's like.
That's what I'm worried about. I kind of
like that one better. If you're asking nearly 5-1, I would go with that one.
Here's the other thing we could maybe mix in is a Daniel Jones interception. Yurko alluded to the Eddie Jackson, but we could just do a Daniel Jones interception.
Oh. Would we put that in place of something, or would we go four legs to bump it up even more?
Now you're going for a four-legger, boys. That's hard.
It is shorter odds on Jones to throw an interception than Saquon to score a touchdown. It's minus 125 on Jones to throw a pick, and it's minus 150 for Saquon to score a touchdown.
So you want to take one out and put that? You want
to
take
the Saquon out?
Now it's all pro Bears, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I like that one.
You like that one, Yurko?
Yeah, and if we could put over 4.5 field goals in, I'd even feel better.
I don't know.
No, stop it.
Which one do you like better, Carm?
I think I like the...
Second one.
Second one better. I think second one's my favorite.
The one with Daniel Jones?
No. Oh. The Herbert to score, Saquon to score, Bears plus 3.5 alternate line.
What if we did do four legs and just give me an indication of what the odds would be on that one, Tyler.
Okay, hold on. I'm building it real quick. Right. So
harder.
Saquon.
Guys, got to build it right now. We're building this thing.
We need to plus
harder.
The 3.5.
Yeah, it'll be
and
more
then
difficult.
We
Should
need
to
get to Daniel Jones to throw a pick.
12-1.
And that is going to get you to 8-1.
8-1.
Plus 800.
Boy, that's peanuts. That's a lot of things that have to happen.
It sure is.
I mean, there's going to be things that happen during the football game, and you hope you're predicting what those things are. But, boy, take 3 of the 4 and just go to town.
You take 3 of the – okay. All right.
3 of the 4 and go to town.
So look for it.
I liked how you call it the ground and pound parlay.
All right.
That's
you
good.
Like that? Yeah. Pep Barkley, Herbert, and Bears plus – I like the Bears plus 3.5.
Do we have time – can I ask you a question that I asked him earlier this week?
Yeah, you want, and then we got Freddie.
Oh, if we have to break, we can break.
Yeah, I want
to
cross-talk with
That's
Freddie.
Fine.
Tyler's coming up, and we've cross-talked with Tyler all day.
Okay.
So let's cross-talk with our old friend Fred Huebner,
let's
who's here at the bar.
Just because on Saquon, I asked him a question. I wonder what you guys would
think. What's the question?
I can ask real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Will Saquon Barkley be the last ever running back drafted in the top 10? He is right now.
No.
You don't think so?
Because they're dumb. There's going to be a really, really good running back, and there are still really dumb.
And somebody will be dumb enough to draft
him. Right.
Meller?
Yeah, I do think, Ever is.
He is the last one, 2018.
The problem is all it's going to take, too, if you have a team that kind of falls into a spot where, like, they had a good year and they just kind of fall back, and then, like, the main spot they need is a running back.
And they have a quarterback or something.
And like you said, you have a generational type guy.
Yeah.
I can see easily someone talking themselves into
Only
it.
Four running backs in 19, 20, 21, and 22 drafted in the first round, period. Only four, none in the top
When's
10.
The last running back to be drafted number one overall?
Great question.
I'll look it up.
I don't know off the top of my head, but that's a good question.
Was it Adrian Peterson?
He wasn't one.
He wasn't
like
one.
Seven.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. Boy, that's a good question, Meller. I wonder what the answer to that is.
I'll look at the break.
All right. Okay.
Barry Sanders is number two.
I want to cross-talk with our old friend, a legend in this town, Freddie Huebner. We'll find out what's been up his can for a while now. It's coming up next.
Live from Legends in Woodridge, where the Miller Lite is a-flowing. The Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast on ESPN 1000. What's up, Fred's can?
Oh, yeah, baby. We got the open.
I love this.
Oh, my God.
Our old friend.
Our
he
old
is
friend.
A retired.
I am old. Always a friend.
He's not forgotten.
He's not an old friend. He's always a friend.
He's always lurking on Twitter, too.
Always.
He's still
ready
there.
To pounce.
Yeah. He's ready to pounce with opinions.
Ready to pounce.
I've not pounced for the last 12 days for White Sox baseball.
Either have I, Freddie.
I've not watched the game since the Tuesday, the first
Amen.
Tuesday against Cleveland.
I've
not watched the game.
They got the Freddie chant going.
Let's soak it in.
Not
soak
watched
it in.
One game.
Freddie, somehow I'm a masochist. I watched Wednesday, and then I was at the game for a little doing that thing with Ozzy on Thursday, so I didn't watch too much. But I haven't watched an inning since.
Oh, my God.
And
what's the point?
I feel bad for, like, Connor and Len and DJ because they work hard. They do, and there's games left. But I'm done. I'm done watching
this. I feel bad for Tyler. I heard him do the post-game.
Poor Tyler.
He was trying to make things sound good, but he was fortunate. He was on for the first win after 8 losses.
Yes, I tapped out.
I lucked out.
I tapped out. I heard Sylvie say it earlier this week, too. He's like, why should I watch them? They quit. I'm quitting. I'm like, yeah. I've quit, too, and I'm a Sox fan. I don't blame you for not watching
them.
No,
they completely quit. It was off. It was absolutely off. Terrible. And you asked me about what's up, Fred's can.
Yeah.
Yes, Mighty Grandal. If they just, I mean, they finished their season at home, so they can't leave him on the road.
They can't leave him in San Diego?
I've heard, I do have people inside still, that Tony La Russa, the biggest problem he had is when Grandal came back telling his pitchers that Yasmani Grandal was coming back because nobody wanted him to catch him.
Really?
He's awful. Hey,
there's one year left, buddy. There's another year.
Are they going to do a Dallas Keuchel and wave goodbye?
18 mil. That's a lot.
I know, but would you rather have the 18 million on your team?
It's a lot of money,
and
Freddie.
Sucking, or would you rather have the 18 million not hurting you? You know what I mean? Like,
I'd rather have it not hurting me, but it's not my 18 mil.
Like, why keep him if the 18 million is going to hurt you?
You're at 184 over there. I mean, the White Sox are spending money, guys.
Look,
he broke
he into resist
it.
Anymore.
He couldn't resist. He offered that to me five minutes ago.
He offered the banana cream pie to everybody in the bar. Nobody would take it, so you're like, I might as well eat it.
He gets comfortable. He just opened up his pie. Is that lemon? What is that, lemon cream?
No, it's
banana
cream.
Banana cream.
I love banana cream pie.
Unbelievable. Freddie's here. Come on.
The other thing is.
He's done. Yurko's
I was listening to, and I know this is probably not the politically correct thing to say.
Well, then don't say it.
No.
Say it, Freddie.
I got my car this morning at 6 o'clock, and I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to ESPN 1000, and they were debating who the MVP is for the season this year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's 3 weeks into the year.
The NFL?
Yes, NFL MVP.
It's a silly conversation.
That's a Merkin conversation.
But so is the other one. So is the other one. How do you not give it to Judge, who's going to win the – who maybe
– I would. I will say, I mean, Shohei's – what, like, Shohei Ohtani
has
But nobody knows it. Just well, like but that doesn't mean that. I mean, but his ERA now after last night is like 235. He's got a 14-game hitting streak
on top of it. Nobody knows Trout's got 38 overs.
I know.
Give him a Cy Young. Ohtani to Cy Young.
All I know is like, if you combine
now,
he's
not the Cy Young, though.
All right.
If you combine his wars, you know, because he's a pitcher, it's like 9.7 or something.
I know.
He's been worth like 10 wins.
Right.
Like,
the Angels suck.
I know.
Angels are brutal.
Man, Judge, I would give it to Judge. He's been too good offensively.
Judge's total year is one of the best offensive years in baseball history.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely
is. It's awesome. It's amazing.
Is Judge's really near 10-2? Miller, is it? I didn't realize Judges was that high. His offensive year has been
staggering. It's amazing that people pitch to him all that time, too.
Yeah.
When they needed it.
It is 10.4 Mott on. That's incredible.
And the nice
part is,
that's incredible. Judges' war is 10.4.
That's amazing. And the nice part is baseball playoffs, and then what, next weekend, right?
They start next Friday, from tonight. Yeah, the wild card games,
That'll be great.
Hembo tweeted this out earlier.
Hembo.
He said, Shohei Ohtani ranks fourth in the American League with 34 home runs and third with 213 strikeouts.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
His ERA is below 2.5.
You know, it's like one of those
unheard
things.
Unheard of, like it's 5 years ago.
He does something nobody else does in baseball, but because of that, should he be the MVP?
That's the definition of value.
He is truly a unicorn, though. Yeah. We say that too liberally, I think. Yeah. Like, he is the one, like, true sports unicorn we have. Like, there is nothing like him.
Tampa had a guy years ago that they drafted that also pitched. He pitched in Louisville. His name was Brendan something. He played first base and pitched, but he never kind of worked out.
And this guy's the best. It's amazing.
By the way, Freddie is with us. We could Jesse is talking baseball. Like, we didn't put Connor or Jesse on this week, but they're usually brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Drove my Camry here right out. My RAV4 right out in front.
He's got a garage full of Toyotas.
He does. He can't remember which one he drove here.
I can't remember anything.
Did I drive my Camry or my RAV4?
Let's go places. What else is up with you?
I do the podcast with 1252 on Mondays. Meller was on right before the football season. Marcy and Greco and Carmen came down.
We did this summer.
And G and Greco stopped at a Jewel and bought like $300 worth of liquor.
I'm not kidding. He walked into their studio, Fat Mike and Fred are in there, and Gene Greco's walking in with a case full of
he's Santa booze.
Oh my God. He bought a bottle of Prisoner. He bought two bottles of whiskey, another bottle of wine.
He brought it all upstairs. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm here for you. He was as tan as he looked like he just got off the rotisserie spit. He was so tan.
You know,
it was awesome.
He's unbelievable. I love Jan Greco.
It was great. We had a great time. So I do that on Mondays. I watch a couple of grandkids now. I have grandkids now.
Oh.
All of a sudden,
how are
one
you
and three.
At that?
I'm really good. They call me Papa. I walk in the. I pull up, and the girl, the 3-year old, runs out to the car with her socks because she wants to see me.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. And I had no chance of having grandkids before. Now I do.
Yeah.
My house. I got a call while we were sitting here. I'm going to have a walkthrough next week, so hopefully my house
close.
Will finally be done
good.
In Lockport. So, yeah, everything's great.
Everyone's on the up. I don't know who is on Twitter waiting to pounce more out of the retired guys, whether it is Fred or Gene Greco.
One of the
Gene Greco's
going after everybody.
He's constant. He's on all the time.
I love it.
The phone doesn't leave his hand, but no, it's great. And I listen when I can. I mean, when I'm in the car,
when it's at Waddle's World.
I listen to Waddle's World. It's been pretty good of late. I actually have been listening.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And for some reason, every time I leave my girlfriend Linda's house, it's 3:15. So I'm in the car at 3:30. Yeah. I always hear it. So, yeah, but,
miss you.
It's fun.
We miss you. You're a treasure. You're the one and only.
Yeah, well, there's a Honeymooners episode where they go, buried treasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more like it.
But, no, it's fun. It was great. I love working, and I love being retired. It's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, just going around drinking beers. And
proud of you, Freddie. You deserved it.
Water here now.
You put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
You deserve every minute, you know.
Yeah, good seeing you, Freddie.
Yeah, your guy Mike North was here earlier. He called
Mikey
me. He
was
going
to
be here. I said, I can't be here all day.
Yeah.
So
Mikey hung out for a little while.
It was fun to see everybody. Yeah,
yeah.
Freddie, all
Bears
the best.
Are
all right,
Bears are going to beat the Giants.
Oh, good.
There you
I
go.
Like that.
I'm with Freddie.
I think you're right.
All right.
Thank you to everyone here at in Woodridge at Legends.
Wow.
It was a great crowd today.
Great.
Thank you to Miller Lite, everyone here, all the servers and everyone. Fantastic. They rolled out the red carpet for us. Thank you also to Courtney Cronin, who joined us today.
She's great.
She's fantastic.
I listen to her all the time. She's amazing.
Phenomenal. Doug Kazarian is also fantastic. Yurko. Job well done today.
Fantastic. I'm looking at the running back that was drafted.
It was Kajana Carter's
pick.
So that's like, what, 95?
Well, that's a long time
Wow.
ago.
It was Kajana Carter.
Yeah, I'm here at 06 right now, and it's taking me a long time.
There's an easier way to filter that, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not smart.
Tyler, you and Jake are back
Google.
At the studio, right? And you're taking over now, coming
that
up next?
That is correct.
All right, so Tyler. Great work by those guys. Back at the shop, Jeff Meller out with us here as well. Travis and the marketing team. Job well done, guys, for Yurko, Carmen, Meller, Freddie.